chapter 6. Okay, we're going to read verse 21 on down to verse 24. I do believe tonight we'll conclude our time in the book of Ephesians. I'm sure there's more to be said, and I'm sure there's more to be said in these last four verses, but there's just a couple things I want to bring out from these last four, particularly the 21 and 22, and as we close this epistle out. Verse 21, "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts." Verse 23, "Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. Just a couple things here as we conclude this epistle that I think we can glean from and get a lesson from, get a principle from, and so I hope that we can finish up on a good note. But there seems as though in verses 21 and 24, just some concluding words of this epistle expressed by Paul here. A couple things that he brings out here is his awareness of their need to know of how he was doing. And then he mentions a dear fellow servant of the Lord, Tychicus, and then his desire that God's peace, love, and grace would be upon them. Sort of a closing blessing upon the saints there in verse 23 and 24. Notice there, verse 21, just two thoughts here this evening. First of all, I want to give a thought regarding missionaries. And then secondly, tonight I want to consider a good report. So the first thing we see there in verse 21, the Apostle Paul sought to make them aware of his affairs, "but that ye also may know my affairs." Basically wanted to let them know what was going on with him, how he was doing, what liberty, if any, he may have had. And we see most of the time in the writings of the Apostle Paul, it's not something that he is accustomed to doing. And for the most part, in all that you read about the Apostle Paul, there'd be very little attention given to himself, very little with respect to his affairs, very little of that is in writing. There's a time in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 where he had to bring some of those things up because of some false apostles had come into the church, and he had to, if you will, just let them know that he was an apostle of the Lord, and he had to bring some things to their attention there. But through, as we mentioned before, almost half of the New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul. You're not going to find much written by way of his affairs. It's not something he is accustomed to writing about. But it was a concern most of the time in his writings about the doctrinal truths of our salvation. It was a concern of the Apostle Paul in his writings that we would know how to walk in relationship with the Lord and how to have a close relationship with the Lord, how to walk as children of God. But though this was his main concern, he was also aware of his obligation to them. And if you will, that he had an obligation as a missionary of Christ, and you see through the book of Acts and through the early church there, that he just went from one geographical place to another, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout every area that he could get himself to. But he thought it was important as a missionary to report back to them regarding his affairs. He felt a responsibility to them, and he felt that there was a responsibility and obligation to them because here he is time and time again requesting their prayers and asking for their prayers. And certainly if you're asking for the prayers of somebody, it might be nice every now and then to let them know how things are going. If you're praying for somebody and we make mention of someone in prayer on Wednesday night, it's always nice from time to time, hey, how are they doing? Have you gotten any feedback? Do you know anything about it? And those questions would come forth simply because you asked us to pray for them. We don't even know what's happening. And it would seem like, you know, we try to do our best to give that feedback. There was time with Brother Faggart when he had that cancer, and it was a stage 4 cancer, and we would bring that up Wednesday night after Wednesday night. Hey, keep praying for Pastor Jeff Faggart. And then questions would come up. Hey, you got any feedback? And I knew that it was somewhat of an obligation and a responsibility to try to give feedback. Hey, what's going on? And often I could not give that. And then I would try to search for that because it just seemed like people are praying. People like to know what's happening. And then eventually we come to find out that the Lord did a wonderful work there. And Brother Jeff Faggart is doing good. And still to this very day, as best I know, he is fully recovered and still about the Lord's business. And seems to have a full schedule on his plate, if you will, fully engaged in the ministry for Christ. So all that being said, the Apostle Paul realizes I'm asking the saints for prayer, and I think it's important, not because I want to brag about what's happening or anything like that. Anybody knows the Apostle Paul, that's not his desire to do that, but he understood the importance of reporting back, of letting them know how he was doing. Now, I just bring that up because this is, if you will, a principle that carries on today as well. And it's I think, something that would be likened unto the responsibility of missionaries to send reports back telling the affairs of how they do. Missionaries are not on their own, if you will. They just didn't get up one day, said, I'm going to go to Sierra Leone and see you guys, take it easy. That's not what they did. They sought for the support of churches. They sought for the support by funds. They sought for support by prayers. And it would only be proper and right that they would let us know of the affair. So what you find is two things that should consist in a missionary letter is present to us, I think, here, is the affairs. How's things going there? How's the work of the ministry going? Are there any, you know, do you have liberty, the gospel, what's happening? You read some of those letters and you'll hear about what's going on in those particular places. I mentioned Sierra Leone, and we hear a lot about what Brother Holt is doing there, where the gospel is going, some discipleship courses that are being done, where they're going from place to place. And then at times, not only do you hear of the affairs with respect to the ministry, but something else that sometimes they don't cover as much, but probably as important as well, is how they're doing. There shouldn't be anything wrong with them reporting back as to how they're doing, and that we would know about that. And I think Brother Holman, he's good about that. He gives us a report about what's going on in each one of the ministries, and then he gives us a home front report. This is what's going on with the family. This is what's going on with the children. And that's kind of neat because the children are growing. The children are doing this. One's graduated. One's just getting into this grade here. And I think that's the proper report to send back to those who are in some churches financially supporting them, but hopefully praying for them as well. So again, we see that, I think, that principle. Where do we come up with these things? How do we do these things? The Apostle Paul didn't have the electronic means to do that. So the Apostle Paul would send an individual. In this case, he sent Tychicus to report that back. Now, I hope you could see how that would be such a blessing. And it would be just such a blessing because Apostle Paul's out there. We know, we've heard reports that he's in bonds. He's in prison. And man, we'd like to know how he's doing, like to know how he's being treated and things like that. And you can imagine the saints back there at Ephesus there and just getting that report of the Apostle Paul, how, and he said that he might comfort them, verse 22, and that he might comfort your hearts. That's a comfort. I think that's a comfort to hear about the apostle, and what a blessing that would be. And it's not a comfort necessarily because he's in prison, but it would be a comfort that things are okay, that he's holding up okay, that his health is okay. He's still doing the work of the Lord. He's still ministering, and he's still doing the best he can. He wrote this letter, and then he's also writing to the saints at Colossae there. So all these things are happening. All these things are coming back to the saints. And you can imagine, I say, the comfort that is received from that. That's just, to me, a great, great blessing. So Apostle Paul sought to comfort their hearts. And What a blessing that would be. So here's the conduct of missionaries, I think, presented to us here. And not only a conduct of the missionaries presented to us here, but I also find a principle of the conduct of the saints as well. Something maybe you could relate to, if you could consider these saints here at Ephesus, and you could imagine them hearing about how Paul is doing. I hope you could relate to that. They don't have electronic means, and they get a report. Somebody comes up, Tychicus comes up, and says, Paul's hanging in there. Paul's doing good. He's still going strong. He's still being an ambassador. I mean, what a blessing. What a great comfort that was. But here's something, brethren, that I think we need to get a hold of ourselves. This simple principle tonight is, while missionaries have an obligation to us, saints have an obligation to them as well. This thing is a back and forth type situation. And here we are in 2020, and we're not as mindful of the missionaries. And we're not as interested in what's going on the field. You can imagine these saints, when they heard from Paul, it was an interest, it was on their heart. They were praying for him. He was special to them. He was doing the work of the Lord there. Well, we support missionaries in this church. And shame on us that we would not show an interest in those representatives in those particular areas to which we have, as this local body, has supported. We mention them. We have them in our prayer letter. And they're listed right here. All of them, a day is given to them. Those are our Pauls. You understand that? They're our Pauls. And they're working in Brother Schwalder, working in the Canary Islands, and Brother Shiraz, working in Brazil. And they know, we're not overly critical as a church in this particular matter. Some churches are just overly critical, where if that missionary does not send a report back, that pastor gets a little bit irritated. Some churches are like that. We're not like that. But Brother Shiraz knows that he has a responsibility to report. But could you not see tonight that it would be a shame on us to not even show any interest in those reports? All those reports. All those missionaries we support as a church. Now, some you might favor more than others. They're all our missionaries. They're all our Pauls. That's who we support right now. If we need to, make the list shorter, if we need to do something better, whatever it may be. There's a history behind some of those missionaries, and some of them have been there for 20 years. But that's who we have right now. These are the ones that we support right now. Listen, this is what I'm trying to say, is that we should have an interest. Maurice LaPierre in Haiti, we should have an interest. He doesn't get the report back as often, but sometimes you understand that certain places and certain situations. Brother Morales, we don't get, I don't even know if you even know some of these names I'm mentioning. But Brother Morales is our missionary to Israel there. We don't get to hear nothing from him. He doesn't have liberty to say anything about Israel. Truly, no missionary is allowed to be in Israel. They're denied. They're not allowed to be there. But he is there in incognito, I guess, or in a manner to which he's trying to be a representative of Christ in that place. And we support him. We support him with funds. But we should be supporting our missionaries by prayer. Amen? Amen. Isn't that good? That's a good lesson for us here this evening. So, we find, if you will, the missionaries' conduct and our conduct. And saints should read those reports. I'll do my best to send out which ones I can electronically. If we don't have electronically, go back there and take time to read them. I want to try to put them in PDF and make them all available electronically. But take time to read them all. I don't know, do you know that we have a missionary to Mexico? Do you know Brother Hart? Brother Hart's down there. Do you know what he's doing down there? You ought to be able to pray each day for one of these. And then when you think of William Hart in Mexico, what's going on with William Hart? I'm not trying to speak down. I'm not. What's going on with William Hart? Okay, he sends those letters. We just got one, and when I get done with that, we'll try to put it up there. We got some new things going on with missions that we need to get better at, but we'll do our best to do that. Brother Hamilton, haven't heard from him in a while. I know he's got some homes going on there. We got to pull the string on that. But what I'm saying is that we need to be engaged, and then when we're engaged with their ministry and what's going on, then we can pray specifically for that ministry. And we ought to find some comfort from our missionaries and what they're doing. I find it a great blessing to hear the reports, and what a blessing to hear of the affairs of the saints on the field. They're all our missionaries. Please, please, please take a lesson tonight and get involved with that. So we see what a missionary letter should consist of, what's happening, what's going on, and likewise how they're doing. Here we find in Ephesians chapter 6, Tychicus. Tychicus is the man to bring that report back. We have better means today, but let us not be so indifferent in 2020. We just don't have the interest for these things as we ought to, and I think we should. So hopefully we can learn from that tonight. There's something else I want to draw from this tonight, verse 21 and 22, and I want to focus on this individual, Tychicus, for a moment and bring something out about this individual. We find this evening an unknown name, an unknown man. Many of us are not familiar with that name. As we read through our Bible, he comes up a couple times, but not a name that you know. It's a common name. It's not a name that you hear so often throughout the Scriptures. But what a blessing we find here that the Apostle Paul has such a friend as Tychicus. It's such a blessing, and I wish I could communicate the Scriptures better. I really do, because when I think of Tychicus, I just think of what a blessing he was to Paul. I mean, here's the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul says there that he is a beloved brother and a faithful minister. And that, there's only a few words given to us here about this particular individual. But I think if you could consider what the Apostle Paul just said, he's a beloved brother. Apostle Paul's in prison, but here is someone who is willing to stand with him. Here's someone who's not ashamed of the Apostle Paul. Here's someone essentially that is willing to almost suffers to some extent something of a similar nature as the Apostle Paul. He doesn't know, but to be associated with the Apostle Paul could come with some repercussion, could come with some consequences there to be associated with that man. And so, but he says Tychicus, he's a beloved brother, he's a faithful minister. So Paul has an individual with him, and Tychicus was not in prison with him. So what you find sometimes, and I don't want to take too long here, but what you find sometimes in life is that some will suffer and others won't. And you can't find fault there. Paul's in prison, Tychicus is not. So what's he, man, he's not a real warrior for God. You know, Tychicus, I mean, if he was really a soldier of Christ, he'd be in here with me, right? But we don't see no spirit like that being presented to us at all, because it just doesn't unfold its way. And sometimes as believers, we think everybody should be going through the same exact thing we're going through, whether, you know, like they must not be a good Christian on the job, or they never would have got promoted. Right? And that's the way we look at people sometimes, but not everybody goes through the same exact situation. That's simply the way the Lord works. Paul's in prison, Tychicus is not, but he is a beloved brother. And he's a faithful minister. So that's, you know what, to me that's a blessing that Paul could make such a commendation of this man. That says volumes, does it not? Does it not say volumes that the Apostle Paul can say, I'm sending Tychicus to, he's a beloved brother and he's a faithful minister. Really? How come he's not in there with you, Paul? But Paul says he's a faithful minister. So he is ministering. He's ministering perhaps to the Apostle Paul, doing what he can. Paul had was able to have visiting rights and different things of that nature. And perhaps even doing his best to minister in the region there. We don't know what that ministry was, but Tychicus was part of that. So something we find here is a precious friend of the Apostle Paul's, one to whom he could entrust to adequately communicate his affairs and tell how he is doing. He could depend upon Tychicus. He could rely upon him. So that speaks of the faithfulness and the integrity of Tychicus, and that he could send him to these people at Ephesus and rely upon him to tell them of Paul's affairs. What I want us to notice this evening as we consider Tychicus for a moment is the report given of him. Beloved brother and faithful minister. What I want us to consider this evening is, and I hope you'll bear with me as we develop this, but how it is necessary at times to give reports or report things regarding God's people to God's people. So the Apostle Paul is giving a report of Tychicus, one of God's people, to God's people. Now, it may be somewhat challenging if there wasn't no endorsement for them to receive anything to which Tychicus was going to say, "Who are you?" Perhaps they have no idea who he is, just like most of us tonight had no idea who he is, right? Tychicus. But so there's an endorsement. There's something being said. And as we said already, when Paul says that, that means a lot. So reports are needed at times on God's people to God's people. Now, praise God, Tychicus had a good report. His name is more than likely, again, a name that we're not very familiar with, but it's mentioned a couple times in scriptures. I'll read them to you. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, it says, "And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus." So he was of Asia. He's also mentioned in 2 Timothy 4:12, "And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." And then turn with me to the right there, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, please. Colossians chapter 4, look with me please at verse 7. "All my estate shall Tychicus declare unto you." Notice again, Tychicus is going to be used again here for the saints at Colossae. Verse 7 again, "All my estate shall Tychicus declare unto you," once again, "who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord." What a blessing to give such a good report there. So let's go back to Ephesians. We'll stay there for a little bit. But a question we might want to consider from this report of Tychicus is, can the same thing be said of us? Can the same thing be said of us? If there was a report that was needed to report about you to the people of God, could you get a good report? For example, tonight we think of Brother Blake, okay? Brother Blake is a God's people, and we get a report of God's people, Blake, to God's people, Bible Believers Baptist Church here in Virginia Beach. Now, we don't really know Blake per se, although Blake had come up and spent a little bit of time with us on the streets there. But now Brother Blake is looking to go into a ministry. And so what we did was we got word from Brother Knox regarding this individual, Blake. And the word that we got from Brother Knox was extremely favorable. Any church would benefit from this individual. And that's a blessing to get a commendation like that, that most people, or if you will, not many people can get such a commendation that this man will bless and be a blessing to your church. And if any church could have such a man like this, that church would be the recipients of a great blessing. That's a wonderful report. That's a great report. With that report, if you will, with this report coming from Paul on Tychicus, wow, that's a good man there. We could use that man for perhaps some other needs in this particular local body. When you get a report from Brother Knox like that, if you will, and even on his video, for those of you here who've seen Brother Blake's video, you've seen Brother Knox give that endorsement. That means a lot to people. That means a lot because Brother Knox has a name. We talked about that name Saturday. He's been in the ministry for over 30 years. Very familiar to many, many, many local bodies across the country. And Brother Knox gave that endorsement about Brother Blake. So here we got the report of Tychicus tonight. And so if we could just ask ourselves, can the same thing be said of us? Can someone give you a good report? Can someone give you a good commendation? Every one of us here this evening should seek to have a good report. Every one of us should seek to live in such a way as it would be easy for someone to give such a report and make a good report on our behalf. What a blessing. When that name comes up, it's a naturalness to just come up with a good report. Again, I use Blake as an example this evening. It's natural. I had to give a recommendation. I had to write a report myself. I've had to write many reports in time past on people, on individuals that would request reports for sometimes jobs, other different things. I have them on file. I've had to do one recently on Blake. I had to do one for the mission. He's going out of a mission board. I think it's Macedonian Missions. And there was a reason behind that, and I won't belabor that point tonight. But I was called by him and said, hey, they want a letter from you saying that we plan on being part of that family there and so on and so on. So I start this letter. I don't really know much to say about the letter. I don't know what to say. I mean, how do you say these things? But so I opened up a letter. I said, I've been asked to give a report or give a response pertaining to Blake's intent or intentions on being part of this local body here. So I went into that. Then I ended up writing several paragraphs on Blake that I was familiar with, and then with respect to where he is today. It wasn't that hard to write that report. It was hard for me because of my skill, but it wasn't that hard to write a good report for Brother Blake. It was just easy to do. And what I'm saying tonight, it should be our desire here for every one of us, if ever a report was required, that we should be able to have a good report. We should seek to have that. Notice with me Romans 16, please. Romans chapter 16. Here's some commendations that the Apostle Paul had regarding numerous people that, for the most part, we're very unfamiliar with. And we wouldn't be familiar with until we came to Romans chapter 16. But the last chapter of the book of Romans is all about commending people to whom perhaps many people were completely unaware, but they're servants of the Lord. But verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. What a blessing. Just we're going to read more of this, but just what a blessing that these individuals could get such a good report. Verse 5, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And another well-beloved brother there. You don't want to hear me keep messing these names up. Verse 10, salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus. I'm so sorry. Household. Salute. Verse 11, salute. Verse 12, salute. Verse 13, salute. Verse 14, salute. Verse 15, salute. Verse 16, salute one another with the whole. And it goes on in that particular chapter just to speak of a good report of these people who were precious. There's some names given there a little bit further down. Just names their names. My eyes can't grab it right now. But it doesn't even say anything about them. Yeah, verse 14, salute 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the brethren which are with them. You know, it says their name. There's names that weren't mentioned. You know, so just a good report there. And then look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. And these are just a few examples of Paul here. We're going to look at a few more here in a moment. But look at Philippians 2, 25. Philippians 2, 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Someone who ministered to the Apostle Paul. So again, the thought here this evening is, can someone give you a good report? I want to look at a few examples in scriptures of a good report, and hopefully it would be our desire to have such a report as well. It's a blessing that you be here this Wednesday night, and hopefully you would seek and long to have a good report. Notice with me, please, Daniel. I can't help but when I thought of this, to go back to Daniel chapter 6 and look at this Old Testament example here, Daniel chapter 6. But what a report we find here from Daniel. About Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, please. Verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. That right there in verse 3 is just a precious testimony. Excellent spirit was in him, and he was preferred over those presidents and princes. Here's the problem. They had a problem with that. They didn't like that at all. Verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But what a blessing. They could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel. Wonderful report. Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they're going to try to use his relationship with the Lord against him and put his relationship with the Lord against the relationship with the king. And that's what they sought to do, is just to take him down. But we find there that report that was given by those presidents and princes there that they couldn't find fault in Daniel. Now go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, please. I hope it would be our desire here this evening that we'd have a good report, whether it be a man or woman in here, you'd have a good report when your name is mentioned, if there was a need, in whatever, just mention that your name would be in good light. Acts chapter 6, verse 1, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Procharus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. What I'm saying is these names were chosen just, they just needed someone to help with meals. They just needed someone to help with meals, but they needed someone that was of honest report that they could rely upon to take care of this important ministry. And these names came up. They had a good report there. The early church needed some workers. The early church had position available. And these men stood out. That's a blessing. Within a local church, some are obviously much larger than ours and obviously have much more robust than ours. But within a local church, there will be things that arise, things that are needed. And as you see here in the early church, these names, just praise God for these names that came up. And we can rely upon these men to take care of the job. The position was available. And these men, they're men from the church that can take care of that. Acts chapter 10, please. They were just serving the Lord. They were just, everybody says, man, I think I'm called for this. I think I'm called for that. They were just serving the Lord. And while serving the Lord, they ended up being called. those seven men were called because they were just serving. They weren't looking for it. They were involved. They were good men. We need something. We got something going on. And that, those people were chosen. Acts chapter 10, look with me please at verse 19. Interesting one here. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So three men are, the Spirit of God reveals to Peter that three men seek thee. Hey, go down, meet them, I've sent them. Verse 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? So Cornelius sent these three men to meet up with Peter, and they're looking, and it's, the working of the Lord is taking place here. We can't go through the whole chapter, but these three men were sent to Peter. Peter, would you come and speak to Cornelius? The angel of the Lord told him to get you, come back and tell him, essentially tell him the gospel. Verse 22, and they said, notice what these men said. They said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews. So Cornelius is a centurion. He's not a Jew himself, but what a great report that he has. He has a good report amongst all the nation of the Jews. Was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into this house and to hear the words of thee. So we see there Cornelius has a good report spoken of him. He's not yet saved man at this time, but he was given a report by those who were acquainted with him. And the report is that among the nation of the Jews, he's got a good report. Acts chapter 22. We're just going to look at the book of Acts here. Acts chapter 22. Look at me please at verse 12. We gotta move on here. I gotta try to finish this. Acts 22 and verse 12. Verse 12, please. We're speaking of a man here in verse 12 named Ananias. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. Of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him. But notice that there, good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. Then I want us to go to 3 John, please. Third John, of course, only has one chapter. But notice with me here in verse 9. And we're going to read on down to verse 12. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now notice verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. Now I bring this up this evening because I want to transition a little bit, but notice two men of the church, if you will, are brought up here in this letter. Two people, I think, of the same church. You got Diotrephes. He's a bad guy. He has a bad report. Prating against us with malicious words, not content. He doesn't receive the brethren, forbiddeth them that would. This man's a problem. But then we have another man who's mentioned in verse 12 there, Demetrius. He's a good guy, good report. So we find here one receives a commendation. The other we are warned about. We want to be that individual in the church that has a good report. A good report. But I want us to notice something brought to our attention here in 3 John. There are times where a bad report must be made known as well. Not everyone is worthy of a commendation. And it is necessary at times that a bad report must be made known. Now, if you're waiting for me to do that tonight, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, so don't worry about that. But I'm just trying to teach you a principle in the Bible here. It's very much brought out here in 3 John that such a person as Diotrephes is a problem. He is no good. He's a troublemaker. He is selfish. He is self-centered. He is self-absorbed. He loveth to have the preeminence. He is not someone you want to put in charge of anything. I don't even know why this man has any influence in his church at all. But Paul brings it up because it was a problem and this required a bad report. What we need to understand is that times for the safety of the church it is necessary when making decisions to consider the report card. It's necessary to consider the report. The pastor has a responsibility to consider the report. We want to have a good report. We want to make things easy. But not everybody in a local church at times has a good report. Gossip. Idle speaking, talebearing, using our lips or mouth to harm others in a malicious way is spoken against in the scriptures and it is certainly to be avoided. But at times for the well-being of the church and the ministry, accurate and honest report must be given. We need to understand that principle tonight. It's an honest assessment of a type of an individual one may be. We're not talking about nitpicking, but a report is required. We're not talking about gossiping and talebearing. But a report is required at times on an individual. Are they trustworthy? Are they lazy? Are they friendly? Lack of self-control. Lose temper easily. Unable to follow instructions. Does not get along with others. Very little spiritual interest. At times, this report is needed. I am not saying this evening that such a report like this is where we seek to give this report. We're not looking to make sure everybody's aware of this report. We're not looking as individuals to put this on faceplant. You know, that's not what we're talking about tonight. But what we're talking about is at times, those times will be of an exception, but they are needful. They're needful like when Brother Knox gives an endorsement, that's a blessing, but there may be a report that he gives. Brother, don't you for a minute. Brother Knox may give a report. Don't you for a minute. He's talking about moving up there. Don't you for a minute. You just don't. You know what I'm saying? He would have to give that. He would feel obligated to give that. Or I would call him up and say, hey, brother. And so here's the thing. Sometimes we say, I don't want to do that because that's gossiping. And I appreciate you wanting to be spiritual and not use your mouth. But it would be wrong to not give the report that's needed when it is necessary. It'd be something as simple, if we could use an example this evening, that's courtship. Somebody may say, hey, what do you... A young lady might ask this, or a man may, what do you think about this? What do you think about this person? There may be a need not to gossip, but to give a report because of the safety of that thing. It may be a good report, or it may be just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Have a responsibility to do that. You think of job applications. Almost done tonight, but and I'm going to give some verses to solidify this. But sometimes you get job recommendations. I've had people before say, I don't like giving a job recommendation because I just feel like I'm gossiping about that person. It is not gossip when there is a need to give a report. It's not gossip. It is biblical. And I'm going to give you some verses here tonight in Timothy, and we'll be done. But there are times where that report must be given. So I'm just trying to help you tonight to understand we don't want to gossip, but there's times where you have a responsibility and I have a responsibility to give the report. It would be a blessing if we had a good report, right? So we shouldn't even be worried about this. We want to have a good report. But there's times in my 20 years of the ministry, it wasn't always a good report. There's times certainly in my 20 years of pastoring, I would get questions. Again, I know it's 8:15, so give me a few more minutes. But I have somebody that's looking to get married, and this individual does not have a good rapport. This individual does not attend church. This individual does not read their Bible. This individual doesn't seem to have any spiritual interest whatsoever. Would you not think I had a responsibility as a pastor to help out? I would be failing that person to not do that. That would be a failure on my part. I would be culpable of misleading that person. Full responsibility. And I think sometimes where we've messed up at is we're unwilling to be responsible in that manner. And then failure ends up from that thing because you didn't do your part to help out. You understand the difference tonight? It's very, very needful at times. Can you go to Timothy with me? 1 Timothy, we'll read these verses and be done. 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, and we're just going to be in 1 Timothy and then 2 Timothy, and we'll be done. I hope that you could see that. Someone may say, hey, we've had this family move here, and please do not take this the wrong way. And they want to be part of teaching a little children's class. They may call me up and ask. Or she says she wants to play the piano. They may call me up and ask. Do you understand that? You understand that these things happen? And so there's an obligation at times to give a report. But notice with me, what I'm trying to get to you as we close tonight here in the book of Ephesians, the principle that's given to us at time, names are required and a bad report given. Diotrephes, he is a problem. He is a problem. And that report was needed. There are times within a church we say, in the ministry today, we say, why is the pastor saying anything about that person? Why does he bring up Joel Osteen the way he does? Right? And sometimes people are like, I wish he would just leave names out of it. Right? And I would say, we don't need to walk around bashing people. I fully agree with that. Fully agree with that. But there are times where people who are putting out a social gospel, they're misleading people, and that needs to be exposed to the body of Christ. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 with me, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Notice the Apostle Paul, please, verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Verse 20, of whom is, Paul thought it was important to mention these names because these people are causing some problems. He said, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Pretty strong. 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. These two people are a problem, and you need to shun, and their word will eat as doth a canker. And here's these two people that are like that, and I'm letting you know about it. 2 Timothy 4:10. 2 Timothy 4:10, would you turn there, please? I just tend to think if the Apostle Paul was around today, he'd probably be exposing some names. He would probably from time to time to bring up some names that they learned to not blaspheme the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas, notice what he says here, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. But the, verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me. That's pretty strong. Paul's saying, I'm going to let you know about Demas. He's putting the word out that Demas was with him at one time. People knew that Demas was serving with him at one time. But Demas has forsaken me. He's still not what he used to be. He is not. You need to know about that. Just don't you take him into your church and think he's still serving like he once used to. He's not doing no more. Verse 14. Drop down to verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Notice that. It's like you shouldn't say that, preacher. You shouldn't say it. No, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Apostle Paul's not looking to throw somebody under the bus, if you will, but he's saying this man is a problem. He is a problem. He did me much evil. These men that the Apostle Paul has mentioned in the book of Timothy here, 1st and 2nd Timothy, they're not good men. And Paul thought it necessary to make the churches aware of them. It'd be a blessing tonight if we can get a letter of commendation. But if not merited, we must address that as well. And let's go back to Ephesians and we're done. Now listen, we don't want to become roving reporters. And we're not looking to become reporters of everybody's shortcomings. That's not what we're talking about at all tonight. But we are talking about having a good report. And that at times in the ministry, we hope we never have to deal with that, be around that, or have any part of that. There's a bad report. Tychicus and others whom Paul mentioned received good reports. That's what we want to be. A principle to understand this evening is there may be times names need to be brought up for the safety of the church, for the safety of an individual that we need to give. So I just don't want to, listen, if you're asked to give that report, again, we're talking about being mature. We're not talking about running our mouths about somebody. We're talking about a decision that needs to be made, a report that needs to be given. And you in love need to give that report and say, hey, say what needs to be said. So as we close there, verse 21, but they ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Let's go ahead and stand tonight. I've been in this thing not that long, but long enough to have had people, will you do this? Will you do this? Will you do that? I get myself in trouble because I say, I don't think I can. I don't think I can right now. Just wait. Just let the. I'm saying we have an obligation sometimes. It'd be a blessing. Listen, that's all just strive to have a great rapport. That's just strive to have a good rapport. We all want to have that. And I thank God that Bible believers does have a good rapport. We do. And it's a blessing. And I hope that all of us would just strive to have a rapport like Tychicus and the other people mentioned by the Apostle Paul there. May the Lord help us to strive for that. Appreciate your time tonight. I know it's Wednesday. Y'all been good. Pray. We just press on as we ought to as a little body here. And we'll be fine. Father, thank you for church tonight. Thank you for the saints of God who are in attendance this evening. I know we've been a little bit long, I think, but I pray it's been a help in these principles that have been presented. We've learned something from it tonight. And I pray we would be more Bible believers. That we would take these, what we learned tonight, and we would grow from it. The things we mentioned regarding the missionaries this evening, God, I pray we could learn something from that and take that with us and just make it a part of our lives, God. And then this thing about the good report, I pray you just help us again, Lord, learn from it and leave here from this evening more mature as believers than what we were when we came in. I ask you to help us make application as need be. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. Appreciate you saints being here tonight.